Welcome to the Board Game Snobs Podcast. Critically harsh reviews with a touch of class.
Go. What?
I'm sorry. Laughing.
I was allowing a moment of silence.
I'm sorry. I'm already laughing.
For the joke that we can't air.
Well, yes. We've already had to edit out a little bit. That's okay. This podcast is starting off good. With us is me, Jerry, the audio.
I don't think you have to ever say, with us is me.
With us is me.
But it brings character to it.
It's unnecessary explanation. Exposition.
Gobby's there. He's the
Hello. I am the primary host of the Board Game Snobs.
The post. The pillar.
Enrique.
The mascot. Hello.
And with us, we have a special guest. Occasionally, we like to have on fans of the podcast, but occasionally, we have fans that are actually somebody, and we have a person of mild interest with us all the way from Australia. That's right, Southern Britain. Michael Langford. Say hello.
Oh, g'day. Is that how we talk, is it?
Yeah. Hey, mate.
Oh, g'day. Can I shine your shoes, Governor?
Yeah.
That's
nice. You said you played my voice... mail last episode, but you didn't.
We did not, because we decided to release one episode ahead of the other because of the
controversies.
The controversies, and
I've been knee deep in controversy
because I was ragging on you for making a really bad Australian accent. Basically,
is it bad? Is it really that bad?
It's horrible. We don't sound like that.
Oh, I beg to differ.
Wait till you hear my American accent. It's going to come out when I go to imitate Jerry when he goes. Now I don't like. Das rolling in games.
I sound nothing
but. Kind of do.
Now, we did play yours, but I told Jerry, sometimes when you reference topical things, if you wait too long, then the whole story of the thing can change too much by then. So we just decided to go ahead and release the second one first.
We like to be on the cutting edge.
Was Faduty the topical?
Faduty was.
Faduty.
And so
Duty sounds like a naughty word, doesn't
and
it?
And so, like, he already had released a blog since then. It's like, oh, okay, that we hadn't heard that since our podcast. So.
Yes, and so since for Duty, we couldn't get him on the podcast to talk about, you know, designers saying things that are inappropriate. We thought we would just go ahead and get an Australian designer on who can thus say inappropriate things on our podcast, and maybe we can stir up drama and be a part of that.
Well, I don't drink, so... You know,
it's been a pleasure podcasting with you. Good day.
We can't do business with you.
How dare
I'm
you.
Very sorry.
I'll just sip my orange juice.
Orange juice with vodka. Yes.
With water, mate. It's too sweet.
Oh. Orange juice is too sweet by itself?
It's concentrated.
Orange juice, up until I discovered alcohol, was my number one drink. I used to drink. I've always had. I discussed this with Mike Delisio. I've always consumed fluids in great volume.
Okay.
Whether it's orange juice, Dr. Pepper, and now alcohol, my mom would make. We couldn't even afford the Minute Maid in the carton. She'd get the frozen from concentrate.
Yeah.
Y'all have that in Australia? No.
They have freshly squeezed orange juice.
Do y'all grow oranges in Australia?
Probably.
Or are they shipped over from Florida?
No, we'd ship them from Asia. We get a lot of fruit from Asia because we grow bananas here in Queensland, and that's about it.
But those the Asian
oranges are
those mandarin oranges that are very baby, a little small.
Mandarins are mandarins. They're not oranges, you can lie.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. They're tiny. They're like this, and oranges are like this.
Okay, I'm making sure. I don't know my fruits.
Like size comparison, Gabby's an orange, you're a mandarin.
Yes, yes.
Isn't that the Iron Man bad guy?
What's that?
Enrique's a grape.
Would you reference us as Bogans?
What's a
Bogans?
What's a what?
A Bogan?
What's a Bogan?
No, you're a hillbilly, if anything.
Okay, but a Bogan is like redneck, right?
I'm a Bogan, so I'm an Aussie bloke that, I don't know, it's just the way you talk, the way you do everything. It's just like you're a Bogan. I'm an Aussie as, like...
What was Paul Hogan?
It's hard to describe.
What was Mick Dundee?
He's a rich Bogan. That evades taxes.
So we've often, you know, of course, you know, as you have said, and Troy and many other of our Australian listeners, what we tend to know of Australia is just from the movies, which is often skewed.
Mad Max.
So, Mad Max, Crocodile Dundee. So, yeah, we have often wondered, like, how your viewing of Paul Hogan is, so.
Yeah, he left Australia for a while because he was hunted by the tax office because he did some evasion on his taxes.
He hit him in a crook.
He's a crook. I was speaking to Jerry not long ago, and I was in the city in Melbourne, and I was showing him pictures of something called a hook turn.
Oh, yes.
You remember that?
The hook turn. So
Can you describe a hook turn?
So here's what a hook turn is. So because, Gabby, you know, they all drive on the left side, right?
Australia does?
Yeah, just like Britain. So, you know.
They're cousins.
Sometimes you have to make a right turn, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but you're on the left side.
You're on the right. If you're in Australia.
No, they drive on the left.
You're on the right side of the car, but you drive on the left.
That's correct.
Correct.
Yeah, so the driver gets out on the traffic side.
Gotcha, they're on the left side. They're driving on the left side of the road. There's a lane over here, and they're going this way, and they have to make a, like we would do, a right
into
on
traffic.
Right on red.
Yes.
So he was discussing, and he sent me a video of a right hook, where basically what it is, you at a traffic light, when a traffic light is red, you pull up. You continue to pull up, and you block traffic. Like, they would T-bone you.
Like, we would go into a left turn.
No, completely different. This is actually, like, a thing that they have to teach their drivers how to do. Like, you are not understanding. You're on the left side.
He's butchering
side.
It. You're on the he left. Couldn't explain his way out of a paper
bag. And then you block lines, and then you look out your passenger window, and when that light turns green, then you whip into the traffic that's about to go forward. How it is.
You wait till you wait on the left until the light that you're turning onto goes green, and then you turn there. It's on roads where there's trams running down the middle of it.
So yeah, a right hook. I know how to do a right hook now.
That's a punch.
It's a punch.
He claims to be pugilistic.
I am pugilistic.
Learns karate chops from Chuck Norris.
Now I'm going to talk about some stereotypes that we need to get knocked out about Australians.
Excellent.
It's like a thing. Thank you, Russell Crowe, that Australians have pugilistic skills, like you fight quite often.
I thought Russell Crowe was from New Zealand.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh, is he? He's from New Zealand.
How dare you lump them in together?
He's a Kiwi.
Yes,
that's what they call.
So Sam Neill. There's a level
I
of New Zealander.
Sam Neill.
Yeah, there's a level of New Zealander that when you reach a certain amount of fame, you become Australian.
The main
road. Russell Crowe was Australian until he threw his phone at someone in a hotel.
No, we don't
claim it. Now he's back to New Zealand.
Back to New Zealand.
You've been demoted.
Yeah.
But New Zealand is beautiful. And hey, New Zealand doesn't have the deadly things Australia has.
Yes, they do. They got Russell Crowe.
What, Maoris?
Snakes? Spiders?
No, they don't. But they got snow. New Zealand's beautiful. I've been there twice.
New Zealand's gorgeous.
In the last 10 years, it's amazing.
That's where they film Lord of the Rings, right?
All right. That's where Mordor's at.
That's where Mordor is.
So, tell me about, I'm fascinated by it before we go into our...
We're fascinated by anything outside of Texas and Oklahoma.
Yes.
Well, let's just say, yesterday, we entered a lockdown. Because we had 15 cases in our state.
So, your state is how many people?
We're coming out of
how
state.
How many Australians?
You know, let's Google it.
You're in Queensland now, right?
I'm in Victoria, you inbred.
Victoria. I don't know what. So that's
where. Don't put me Queenslander. That's offensive as.
Are you close to Dimitri from Massage ASMR?
Who?
Yeah. Dimitri? Victoria is where your queen is located, right?
Victoria was their queen back in the 1800s.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Got, apparently, according to Google, we have 6.6 million people in Victoria.
So, and so you have 15 cases of COVID there
yes.
now?
And
they locked
and then
it down.
We've shut down for 7 days. So okay. basically, you can't leave your house without a mask on. You can't go farther than 5 kilometers from your house, which is what, maybe so 3 miles or so.
There are like Paris.
There's 15 cases in Paris, and they're like, "Yeah, we're opening up, baby."
Paris, Texas, has got 35,000 people. There's like 15 cases down the road.
Oh yeah,
we're at the Dunkin' Donuts recording right now. I mean, it's like this is not an issue. So that's fascinating.
No, Texas oh, is fully open, like, and they fully opened before even the vaccines were like really kicking in.
The thing is, though, we've got – so there's two levels of government in Australia. So there's state and then there's federal, okay? So federal looks after the whole country. Mm-hmm. State looks after each state.
Very similar.
Our state government in Victoria is Labor. So we're going to talk about politics here a bit. Our Labor, which is – apparently Labor is like your Liberal. So it's like they look after small business, families, stuff like that. Whereas federal is federal is Liberal, our Liberal, which are – the big, they look after big business, mining, stuff like that. They don't give a care about the little guys.
A shizure.
Yes. They don't give a Hispanic Batman about the little guys. And so our state locked it down as soon as it happened last year. And we have, you know, we have one or two cases max. We've gotten to 15, but because of our tracing, we've been managed to lock it down. But I mean,
New Zealand's the one that was praised for like locking everything down and like they were well out of it. Of course, they're a smaller island, but they're like, oh yeah, we're back to normal, baby.
Yeah, but I mean, when you got a population of what, 10 people, it's easy to do.
We're good. We're all checked out.
Hmm.
But look, our state government's done amazing. I'm going to rag on the federal government. You shut up for a second.
He can't. He wants to butt in.
I am two IPAs in.
He's champing at the bit.
Our federal government, quarantine and all that's meant to be a federal government responsibility. But I don't know if you've ever seen our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison.
I didn't know y'all had one.
That's the queen.
Well, we pretty much don't. That's how much he's done.
I thought y'all were ruled by like King Crocodile or something. I thought Paul Hogan was your president.
Wait a minute. How dare you talk bad about Paul?
Jim Craig. Do you know who Jim Craig is?
Jim Craig?
Yes.
No idea.
The man from Story River.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I only watch good stuff.
Oh,
How dare you, sir?
My wife is mad at
Look,
you.
Look, even I put in Jim Craig to Google, and it's a hockey player.
Jim Craig was the man from Story River. My first representation of Australians in my young life.
I thought you were
going
to say my first true love.
He even returned to Snowy River.
Yeah, he even went back. He thought it was deemed worthy to go back to.
Was that a series?
It's movies,
it was
man.
It was a two-series movie.
It was great. Okay. It's about a
You know what you need to get? You need to try and find Blue Heelers. That's classic Australian
Blue Heelers
TV right
like
there.
Blue Heelers. We have a dog here named a Blue Heeler.
Yeah. It's sort of based on that because one of the guys has a blue heeler. But they're coppers. It's a copper show but based in a fictional town.
Blue heelers also called Australian shepherds? Or is that two different dogs?
No, Australian shepherds are like border collies.
Ah, okay. They're
different colors.
Okay, blue heeler. Okay.
I have learned more in the past 30 minutes about Australia. Everything I know about Australia is
a lie.
I have not.
Through American cinema? What? You saying it's skewed?
Well, it's just, you know, Australia is very important because they're down.
Michael has yet to say that's no knife and pull out a large blade on me.
I was expecting it. But, like, y'all are on another planet. Like, it dawned on me the other day while talking about geography with my daughter that y'all's winter is
now
not our winter. And I felt the
You're entering
shame.
Winter, right?
We're so autumn right now. It was probably about 2 degrees today. So your metric system is shocking. Almost swore.
I can't wrap my mind around it. It's like you're ahead of us. You're a day ahead of us. This is like Tenet.
Reverse polarity.
This is a podcast pincer move. Tell us what the future holds for us.
What's happening tomorrow? What's the stock market? Nothing. How's Bitcoin look tomorrow?
No, I'm dead into Cardano. I'm all about that. I don't care about Bitcoin. I'm leveled in. Oh, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency is a big thing down there in Australia.
I'm doing Dogecoin.
I have no idea. I'm a single dad. I don't know anything about that crap.
Oh.
And I have the money to spend on frivolous things.
And you deliver stuff, right?
Yeah. So,
you are a truck driver, just like God.
I'm literally attacked here. I'm not a truck driver. I drive a van.
Oh, van.
But I'm
driver.
Offended by you, Garby, because
what else have I done?
Many episodes ago, you're like, I don't like cupcakes. I deliver cupcakes.
I don't like cupcakes. Job. They're a big tease.
Why? You know what? You get different flavors. You get a whole variety of them.
They're pretentious. Cupcakes are pretentious.
Just the tip.
Here's what I like about cupcakes. You can have a chocolate cupcake, and you can turn right around and have a different type of cupcake, and you don't feel like you've done something wrong.
You deliver cupcakes.
Yeah, and we deliver mini cupcakes as well.
The little baby cupcakes. Oh, God, I love those.
Enrique-sized cupcakes.
Enrique, show your fingers. Show your phalanges. When Enrique literally will buy those mini cupcakes, he'll put those in the palm of his hands and take pictures so to make his hands look bigger. Enrique has this syndrome with his hands where his hands are very small. If you've ever watched that one show, I can't remember the guy with a little small hand. What's it called? Was that Scream? Whatever, the guy had the deformed little hand.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, anyways, Enrique has that where his hands are so small we often make fun of him. So
I'm imagining that scene in Deadpool where he cuts off his hand.
That's
and
exactly
the hand
it. Back. That's exactly
those
it.
Those little baby legs.
He has little baby hands, and so we've often talked about Enrique and his baby hands.
He's got little sausage fingers.
He does not. He just calls them carrots. They're not baby carrots. He just refers to them as carrots.
You know, baby carrots are just regular carrots.
Ground up carrots.
Ground to down to a nub.
Drop
that's
some
a carrot
ball.
Abuse.
Carrot abuse. I don't like carrot abuse. Do y'all have carrots there? That's a dumb question.
Yes, we have carrots.
I'm the borderline Ben Maddox of interviewers. Do you have carrots there? All right. So tell me something, Mike. This is something that bothers me. I just realized that I recently read a blog about things that other countries find fascinating or they hate about America. Tell me, what is your concept?
Do you have any questions about our people?
Your people. Why do you have an obsession with guns?
Listen here.
Right here? Yeah, baby.
That's the widest gun on an Hispanic man I've ever seen.
It's also very flat. It's a flaccid gun.
Flaccid gun.
It's like one of those wingsuits.
How dare you?
Gabby can't die from falling because his terminal velocity is like a squirrel's. He can deploy his wingsuit like Batman.
And recently, Texas just passed a law where anybody can open carry. So super cool.
I have a gun right now.
I don't know.
I understand that. I can't wrap my tiny smooth brain around that.
But yet they wonder about all the killings. It's weird.
Oh, it just happens.
It just happens.
It's a thing.
Trip and fall.
You shoot back. That's a fact.
So, we're fascinated with Australia. Do you have any questions about Texas?
No, Texas is awesome.
Texas.
You can't drive.
We used to have a restaurant here in Australia called Outback Texas Steakhouse.
I wonder if it's anything like Logan's or the Texas Roadhouse.
Or the Outback Steakhouse here.
No, the Outback Steakhouse is not in Australia. I know that for a fact.
No, it's not. I've heard about them. They're nothing like.
They're not.
Did I serve kangaroo?
They don't. I asked specifically.
No.
Have you ever had that? It's the worst bloody meat.
No, oh but God. I would love to eat a kangaroo so I could say I ate a roo.
Why?
It's like you've really well done a steak for like 6 hours.
I mean,
they're
nothing but muscle. I can only imagine they'd be tough.
Kangaroos, now I've been told that kangaroos
will get a wallop or joey. Nice, a little baby. Like you do the lambs.
Just wring its neck.
Just wring its neck.
No.
That soft.
If I have
to it on the Barbie.
If I have to answer one more email from PETA because of you, that kangaroos will lure dogs and things into bodies of water and drown them. Is that true? They have this intense ability.
I don't know about that. They're very aggressive. I don't know if you've ever seen them attack people. So they balance on their... They've got a really fat tail, and they balance on that, and then they kick you with their 2 feet, and that can just slice you open. When they hit cars, if you have a look at, in your spare time, go onto YouTube and just kangaroo car accident, you'll see kangaroos will smash the front end of a car and then just get up and hop off.
Really? How much do they weigh? Because, like, we have a white-tailed deer here, and, like, even the bucks just weigh out about 150 pounds. And so, like, we're hitting deer all the time. But how much does a kangaroo weigh? They have to be massive.
They can be.
Roger. So, I bet Roger was 200 pounds.
They're around, like, 50 kilos. What's that in your...
That's 14 liters. Hey, I don't know what's 50. Oh, 50 kilograms is about 120 pounds.
So between 77 and 198 pounds.
Holy cow.
One kilogram is 2 pounds.
I know that.
So between 77 and 198 pounds. Yeah.
Good Lord.
According to my friend Google over here.
And they'll just come up and kick you.
But we've got different ones. You've got red kangaroos, gray kangaroos.
What's the best kind? What's your favorite?
One that doesn't run into your bloody car.
Okay.
A kangaroo will kick you.
Get out.
Please stop that.
So why is Michael on today?
Michael's on because at some point in time, he has Facebook messaged me several times. And he also did a Kickstarter on a board game. And we've just talked back and forth. And at some point in time, I said, hey, you know what you need to do? You need to come on the podcast. Because I am fascinated by the fact that you're in Australia, because I've always wanted to go to Australia. But also by the fact that, like, you've just willy-nilly, like, made games and just put them on Kickstarter. Like, that's a thing.
And they succeed?
So I've had one succeed. I've had two failed ones. Was it last year or the year before? My second game didn't quite work out on Kickstarter. But you know what? Bad luck. That happens. But
either way, I think that alone is just fascinates me, because I've often feel like people have great ideas about board games and what their designs are going to be.
I have a cat just like him. Oh, kitty, I have a soft spot for cats. Let me go get my cat.
My kitten.
Do kangaroos? I would assume kangaroos would attack cats.
Cats are undefeated.
That? Yeah, kangaroos would attack cats. Like, no. If they saw them, they would view them as like food.
We got feral cats, so cats that have been left out, and they kill everything.
Mm. Yeah, cats are awesome.
Cats are a super predator. If they were just a little bigger, they would just be.
I was hoping for some questions from Enrique today, because he's got some very
Enrique, valuable. get your interview questions ready. That's a good reminder. Get your interview questions ready for Michael, because I am about to drink another IPA and I'm about to be useless here in a moment. So you get your phone or whatever it is that you get your questions together. Why are you staring at me?
Enrique, do you have any questions about Australia for Michael?
You don't even know where that's at.
Oh, wait.
Turn his mic back on.
Okay, I forget.
But yeah, no.
Okay.
But yeah, no.
Okay, so he says,
no questions.
Get your questions ready for him. For Michael Vannoy, he is
not Michael. He has called you Michael Vannoy twice.
Who's Michael Vannoy? Do I need to kill someone?
Michael Tenoy Vannoy. He's a sporadically born. He also listens to us and Disagreeable Nerd, just saying.
When I drink. But
he's not Australian, though, is he?
No.
We've got Stibbert. Well,
all us white guys look alike, AJ.
You do. You do. You and Gobby, I can't tell you apart, to tell you the truth. And when he says,
I'm Chilean. He's Australian.
Oh, it's the same.
You're a redneck.
You're all Southern Hemisphere to me.
You're Bogan.
I'm Caucasian. So, Mike. How did you design your... What is your design process? What makes you wake up in the morning and
What's
go...
What's your process?
Such an
original question.
I am going to make a game. What's the theme? What do you do? Where to decide...
Are you themes or mechanic first?
You're driving your cupcake truck.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Because I was listening to a Martin Wallace interview recently. Mm. And he does theme first. Whereas I think I'm mechanic first. So... I think if I designed by theme, it'd be a completely different game to if I designed by mechanic first. So my game that I did, I'm holding up to the camera.
Misdirection.
Helpful on a podcast.
Yes.
Misdirection.
So I wanted to create a game where it was just quick, easy, but there was people could attack each other without attacking each other. So say there's an enemy in the middle of the table, and they react to whatever card you play, basically. On your turn, you have a card in your hand, you pick up a card, and on your turn, you have to play a card, basically. It's that simple. That's really it. It turned out exactly how I wanted it to. I tried to relay on Kickstarter what type of game it was, but apparently people thought it was a lot heavier. It was going to be a lot heavier than what I put it through as. But,
so did you find
that resulted in some fantastic reviews on BoardGameGeek.
That's another thing I would have just assumed would be very devastating to a designer, especially.
You know what? They're not attacking you. That's what you need to remember. So I also hate that website. It's just so dated, though. It's a horrible interface. It's shocking.
Here's what we should
do. It's like I can't get over. I can't use Discord either. I can't wrap my tiny brain around Discord.
Discord's difficult.
Here's what we should do, Mike. We should make an alternative to BoardGameGeek, and we should call it
Board Game Nerds.
No, Nerds and Geeks and hate dweebs. That. We should call it something like that. Something upscale. What would be the term?
Board Game Snobs.
There you go. So we'll start a website, and then we could like make it. If you had to redesign BoardGameGeek, what would you do? What would be the thing about it that rubs you the wrong? What rubs you raw? WWE raw.
Oh, you know, it's hard to say, but it's basically the whole website's nothing but a popularity contest. So I don't know if there's really a way to show ratings more than, or in a better way. You know what I mean? Like.
Here's what I've had this idea, and you can run with this in case
I haven't thought about it. I just hate the bloody thing.
I'm going to offer you a solution. So if you ever want to quit your cupcake driving business and start your board game website, here's what you do. Do kind of like the Rotten Tomatoes website, where you have key people that are the critics, that are the actual critics. And it's like, all right, the critics say this about the game.
Only elite people with perhaps a podcast.
Exactly. A podcast that...
Because theirs is so hard to create.
No. But no, like...
Because we have so little of them.
So few.
I know. Oh, we're a proud member of the Gateway Network. And if you're interested in hearing any more about people who have very valid opinions because they have a microphone, please go there. GatewayNetwork.com.
Your cat is being so adorable in the background. Just saying. He's just playing away.
You can see her in the background.
Yeah.
What's the cat's name? It's some playing. Aussie name, isn't it?
Her name's April.
Oh, okay. That was very disappointing.
April Showers.
My son named her April, you bastard.
Oh, that's adorable.
Are there any Australian names, though?
Like Sheila?
Sheila. That's a good one. What's another Australian name?
Okay, so Sheila is a girl, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's a boy?
Sheila's a Sheila.
What's a boy?
Cool. That's a good question. What's a Bergen name? Rad. R-A-D.
Rad?
R-A-D?
R-A-D, Rad.
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 Interesting.
Oh. Rad.
Okay.
I met a kid named Knox the other day. K-N-O-X.
Fort Knox.
Rad Knox. That sounds like something that would be... that sounds like the next upcoming Australian superstar, Rad Knox. There's Tom Cruise, Rad Knox.
My name's Rad Knox.
Who is the actor, besides the guy who is playing Homelander on The Boys right now, that is the Australian actor right now? Who is it?
Hugh Jackman.
It will always be Hugh Jackman.
It's always going to be Hugh.
Whenever y'all
Hugh
love
Jackman.
You'll
never... Also, that guy is a Kiwi.
Really?
Anthony Starr's a Kiwi. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Jerry.
See, once again, we'll take him now though, because he's done such an awesome job in The Boys.
Yeah.
What until Red?
But
Knox
he's a Kiwi. He was
though.
in a Kiwi show called Outrageous Fortunes, which was sort of like a Home and Away. Do you know what Home and Away is?
Yeah, I love Home and Away.
No.
Yeah, so it's sort of like a Kiwi version of Home and Away, but
really?
He plays two characters, two twin brothers.
Oh.
And he's a criminal. It's funny as.
Man, I love Home and Away. That's a great.
That makes one of us.
So there was a, where was I at? We were redesigning BGG, something about designing board games. So you've had two failed Kickstarters, right? And that's not
two failed Kickstarters for the same game, yeah.
That's not deterred you at all. Are you going to go for third?
Nah,
why?
I'm still designing because I enjoy the whole design process. I don't enjoy the money you spend. So I made $0 on my first game. But you know what? I'm not in it for money. If you're in this business for money, there's something wrong with you because you're not going to make anything.
So I understand that board games in Australia, they must be higher in terms of price because of the shipping for like most of the games. I hear that as being like a common complaint. Is that true?
Yeah, that's very true. We also get things a lot later, which is why I sort of sent my congratulations, 150 episodes, like 10 weeks late. We also get things a lot later, like at a retail level, and we're not looked at for a lot of the market. So our big conventions as well, like you guys have so many conventions, like, you know, you got your PAX Unplugged, you got Gen Con. Is Gen Con in the US? Yeah, it is, yep. Yeah. Yeah. You got so many, whereas we got like one, and that's just PAX, a normal PAX that we share with video games. So that's – so one thing I bragged about on another podcast was we – the way Australians have had to design board games and attend conventions, everyone else is having, like, experiencing that as an Australian, like, through this pandemic, because you can't go to conventions, so you've got to do it online. And you know what? Everyone's adapted to online, which is great. So it opens up more opportunities for us Aussies that are so far away to put their ideas to publishers and stuff like that.
So why do you choose to kickstart rather than go to a publisher?
You know, I like to have control of a vision that I've had. So I've always been a creative person, but this is literally the first thing where I've followed through from start to finish, which is a pretty big thing because I'm a serial procrastinator.
What have you been creative about besides board games?
Just whatever. So in school, I used to draw when I should be doing schoolwork, but I was never any good at it. I used to love creating things for video games as well, like levels and stuff like that. I used to love creating mods for the old Command & Conquer games, stuff like that.
So have you ever considered perhaps like going a different route with your creativity, maybe not so much designing board games, but going the art level? Since
your games have failed, have you considered a different route?
No, yeah. I was trying to be tactful. Like, maybe you're doing something wrong. Maybe you should try your hand at art. You might be the next Ian O'Toole.
No. I don't like drawing.
Bob Ross.
Bold Bob Ross.
You don't know. Y'all don't have Bob Ross down there in Australia, do you?
We have YouTube. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay, I didn't know.
Is he still alive?
No, in our hearts, he died a long time ago. In our hearts, he is. Okay. Bob Ross lives on forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
So, never mind. Go ahead.
Did you have a question that you're gonna
It was something else Australia related.
Look, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Well, I might.
Are you
care.
North Australia, South Australia,
Queensland,
East or West?
Is obviously in the South.
So South Australia is a state.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not in South. I'm in Victoria. So if you looked at Australia, you know how we have that little island down the bottom?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that thing.
Is Gabby seriously looking at a map?
I will, yes. My lord.
Yes, exactly. I knew about that island.
Where's
at the bottom.
Tasmania?
So that island is called Tasmania. It's its own state.
Yeah.
So I'm above that in Melbourne. Melbourne.
So you're on the beach.
Melbourne. I have a beach probably 5 kilometers from my house. Yeah.
Very nice.
It's not a very nice beach.
I just saw that the first Tasmanian Devils were born in Australia for the first time in a long time.
Tasmanian Devils. Tasmanian Devils have been endangered, but they're not being extinct or anything. We have them in captivity. Tasmanian Tigers, though, which are more like dogs. Look up a Tasmanian Tiger. That's stuff of nightmares.
Tasmanian tiger? That's like a liger.
Yeah. It is like a liger, a dog liger.
Ooh.
What is that? Show me that. Why don't we know it? Oh, yeah.
Looks very sleek.
Oh, that's the thing that William Dafoe hunted.
Willem.
Yeah. What movie was that?
That's The Hunter or something like that.
That's a real original name, isn't it?
Well, you know,
The Hunter.
It had Sam Neill in it. Did you know that Sam Neill was going to be James Bond? And I recently watched a YouTube video of him auditioning for James Bond. I never knew that Sam Neill was so sexy. And I'm just going to come right out and say it. I wish Sam Neill would have been James Bond. I think
this
it would have
says
completely...
they thought the Tasmanian tiger was extinct.
They did, but then...
Tasmanian tiger is extinct. They hunted it like...
William Dafoe.
Because humans are such great characters.
William Dafoe killed it. William Dafoe killed it.
It's Willem. There's no William.
It's Willem. Yeah, it's not William.
His name isn't Billy Dafoe.
Well, whatever. That would have been great. Billy Dafoe, that's a great name. Bill Defoe. Hey, anyways.
No, it's Billy now.
What?
Huh? It's Billy now.
Do you have your questions ready for him yet?
I probably only have one question.
No, get more. That's, you got to work up better.
I'm trying.
I'm sorry this was at such short notice, and I'm sorry I've drank too many IPAs to be useful.
I'm sorry because he messaged me when I was sleeping, getting my beauty sleep.
Mm. Thank you. You look like the Australian Paul Giamatti. And how does that make you feel? What's your favorite Paul Giamatti movie?
And I don't have a favorite movie. I have a favorite series, which is Billions.
Billions. And that's billions in dollars, not in billions in Australian dollars. Right? Y'all have Australian dollars, right? Or y'all pounds?
No, we're Australian dollars. So we're Diet Coke money. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Not the real thing.
All right. Enrique, are you ready with your questions?
Speak loudly and clearly.
Ask him a question, Enrique. Communicate with Michael. He's a big fan.
He loves your shirt. He actually has one.
Shipping prices on that shirt's going to be $150.
It'll be a long time to get there, though.
Well, it's going to be pretty interesting. Never really technically interviewed anyone.
You interviewed Dan Hughes.
That was via you.
Ask some amazing questions. Don't sell yourself short.
Whim.
I know, but this is a whim too. This is a whim.
So that was that giant thing in Dune.
Actually, there is something I would like to ask. What is Vergemite? Or
Vergemite.
What is it?
He said Vergemite.
Enrique, you're a Vergemite.
That's what it is. You're a Vergemite.
Vegemite.
Vegemite is a vegetable that hasn't been boiled.
Shut up and let him talk. Okay, Michael, what is a Vergemite?
Vegemite.
Thank you.
Vegemite.
My first
Vegemite.
Wife.
So Gabby said it right. It's a tar-like substance that you put on toast.
Tar-like substance.
It is. It's salty. It's amazing. Like,
so it's basically it's like taste. Almost like a burnt jelly. Almost.
Nothing like burnt jelly. Where did you get that from?
Burnt jelly. Nutella.
Nothing like Nutella. This is salty. This is. It's. They call it a yeast extract, isn't it? Or something like that. I drive past the factory every day and the whole area just smells like Vegemite. It's salty. It's hard to describe. I'll have to send you guys some and you have to try it on stream though. That's the only condition.
A Vegemite. I'm not sure.
I sent some to the Orange Nebula guys and I haven't heard back, so they might have all died from it.
They're dead. How's this become a thing? Is this Australian cuisine?
It is, yeah.
So what other cuisine do you have? Look up other questions, Enrique. That Vegemite question was off the charts.
Vegemite? Is that okay.
Vegemite. Vegemite.
Apparently, Vegemite. It's like a almost kind of like a beer substance.
It looks almost. Like, quite frankly, it looks like solvent green.
Soylent green.
That's what I said.
You said solvent.
Solvent green.
See, Michael, this is what I deal with when he's had one IPA.
It's people!
Is that a beer? I bet you it's weak as well.
It's
7%. I don't know.
7%.
I don't know how y'all write y'all's things down there.
They do.
We have percentages, Gabby.
Do you have percentages in Australia?
Yeah.
They do Australian percentages.
Well, how do you feel about this?
I'm waiting. Was there something coming?
In a fight I'd come back. Can you hear that?
Nah.
Turn that off. Someday. That's insulting. He's playing Men at Work down at Under because that's what...
Colin Hayes, a national treasure.
Oh, okay. There we go. We know that for
traveling
a fact.
Traveling in a fight out combi. On a hippie trail, head full of zombie.
Now, he's Australian, even though he was born in England.
I met a strange lady. She made me nervous.
Look, that's enough of that.
She took me in.
He's still doing music as well.
I have loved that song since I was a young wee Sheila.
I asked about
Red
Australian cuisine. I need to know. So what if I'm going to go to Australia and I'm going to eat something, what do you suggest?
So we don't have our own. we steal things from other countries. We're pretty much Britain Junior. You know how they went around in the 1800s and stole all their treasures from every other country?
Fish and chips.
Mm. Fish and chips. We have fish and chips. Mm. So it's interesting because we take the best parts of the US, the best parts of the UK, and we combine them and we've got our own culture, but it's not our culture. It's stolen. So we don't have our own cuisine. Like we to. Special. No, we don't. We really don't. We don't put our shrimp on a barbie. For one, we don't call them shrimp.
They're prawns.
They're prawns.
Prawns on a barbie.
Yes, I watched prawns. District 9.
Your prawn? Why aren't there any South African podcasts and board games? How good would that be? I love that accent.
That's a great accent. I don't know why that is one of the most underrated accents.
Are there any like Aboriginal influenced foods?
So, not really. Look, this is.
Or is that something I should even ask? I don't know.
You can ask it, and that's it shows our upbringing and our respect to the Aboriginals, which there is none in this country, which is appalling. So we don't know anything about, aren't taught anything about the natives of this country other than what we did to them, which is obviously nothing great.
Take their stuff.
But we took their stuff. We took their kids. We took everything. It was not a good time. And, you know, there's reconciliation happening nowadays, not with our current federal government, but, you know, we're making steps towards making things right, but they're still treated like a second-class citizen in their own country, which is not fun. Sorry to turn it all serious for a moment.
Wow.
Well, Gabby, you're
just
ignorant.
Trying to buy Enrique some time.
Well, I was asking a question. Is there like a national food or plant or fruit or vegetable?
Well, there is one
thing that I would
Vegemite.
Actually one food that I would like to actually know what it's actually like. It's lamingtons.
Lamington. All right. So you know what a sponge cake is?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So sponge cake, it's like a sponge square, and then they dip it in this watery chocolate, and then they dip it in coconut, and that's it. But you can get jam filled ones. You can get cream filled ones. I must be boring Jerry because he's yawning.
No, this is what happens when the IPAs kick me in. But I'm just very disappointed in Enrique's questions. It's like you're stuck on food. This is the best you could do.
I'm sorry.
What else do we have to offer?
That's it.
Lamingtons. But I'm pretty sure Lamingtons came from New Zealand. I might be wrong about that.
Barbecue snags?
Hey, you know,
I was actually
this is what we can always do.
They're Australian. I apologize.
Okay, so
Bubba edit that part out.
Bubba top five.
All right. I'm actually prepared for this part.
What's the last game you played?
Obscurio.
Ooh.
Never heard of it.
But that was about a year ago. It's from the same guys that did Mysterium.
Anytime you send game to copy, he says, never heard of it. Never heard of it. Yeah.
How would you say it in American? Obscurio.
Yeah, it's Obscurio.
Obscurio.
Yeah. I've seen that the other day and I was looking at it. So is it any good?
I played it three player, which it's not bad, but you don't have a hidden player mechanic, which is what the game really revolves around. It's kind of like, we call it Where's Wally, but you guys have Where's Waldo?
You're right.
Where you got to find a certain dude, but you got to find certain things that they're pointing at on a card, which you use little tokens, you put it on a card, but sometimes there are negative effects on that card, but puts you like a, you might put a red sheet over that card and you have to find what they're pointing to, where it's color or an object. I'm really bad at describing things.
That's okay.
He's really bad.
It was fine. It was very, very fine.
Australians let out a lot of air.
I'm really a bad. Describe a game by box art.
All right. It's brown and it's a suitcase and it's small and I have it looking right at me.
Brown and a suitcase and it's small.
It's quite small.
Oh, quite small. Brown.
Made in 2016.
Suitcase and small.
One word.
One word.
Two-player game.
No idea.
Oh, wait a minute. That's
Brown suitcase ball.
Man.
He doesn't know.
No, that's not it.
Leaves me.
He doesn't know.
It's going to be one that I know. It's going
to
make me
upset.
See,
this is the weak area of the Bubba Top 5. We have yet to identify any game that has been described.
It's a suitcase. The box is made to look like a suitcase.
So traveling is involved. It was on Kickstarter. Involved. Traveling's involved.
It's a small box?
Okay. It's a small box.
Show it to us.
Oh, I have no idea what that is.
Mafia.
No. That's I have no idea.
We don't know. This is the
Fugitive.
Oh, is that a Tim Fowers game?
Yes, it is. Yes.
I want to play that really bad.
It's so good. Like, if you played it with Gina, I reckon she'd love it. Like, it's such a good two-player game.
Really good. I want to play really that is. Really bad.
Bubba has a signed copy of the first edition of what was the
Burgle Brothers
of Tim Fowers, and I don't think he's never brought it over so we can play it.
He doesn't care about us.
I've never played any other of his games. I've only played that one, and that one.
I really want to play Fugitive, and I keep forgetting about it. But
I don't care.
I don't care.
Okay.
I didn't kill my wife.
Favorite movie, Michael?
Oh, segue.
Prisoners.
Ooh, with Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal is one of my favorite actors.
They're both amazing in that movie, and the cinematography, the filming, everything is so good about that
now
movie.
Now, that I have not seen it, but that has Paul Dano in it, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, I love Paul Dano. Jake Gyllenhaal in...
I thought it was Gyllenhaal.
Nightcrawler. Is amazing.
Oh, he's a freak in that.
My favorite movie of Jake Gyllenhaal is the one where he goes back in time repeatedly, like tomorrow.
Are you thinking of Prince of Persia, which is one of his worst movies?
No.
He's on the train.
He's on the train. Yes. Keeps going back in time.
Source Code. Source Code.
That was directed by
It was David Bowie's son directed that. David Bowie's son.
Major Tom. Second.
He also directed the Warcraft movie, which is a great movie.
Ooh, I haven't watched that.
Oh, my God. Really? You're one of the few people Duncan I've Jones. Heard say that. Duncan Jones.
I love that movie. Yeah.
Really?
I'm a movie person. I watch a lot of movies.
I couldn't get past the tusks coming out of their mouths.
You mean because they're not human, you racist?
Sounds like you're a speciesist.
Speciesist.
Speciesist. Take that trash elsewhere.
Okay, what is your second favorite movie?
If you were I'd probably Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Dan Hughes keeps talking about Lord of the Rings. I've never watched it, never read it, and I thought to myself, I'm going to get like an audiobook and just listen to it.
I haven't read the books. I can't read. But the movies are awesome, amazing.
Skip that. Go the Hobbit movies. They're the best.
The Enrique movies.
The Enrique of the trilogy.
Martin's a national treasure.
A board game you would like to see made into a movie.
This is so easy. Skulk Hollow. So it's a pencil first game.
Mm-hmm.
It's the art's done by an ex-Disney artist. I think he's an ex-Disney named Dustin Faust. It's about these little woodland creatures, like I think they were foxes or something like that, and they're getting attacked by these large creatures, and they have to take the creature down. It's a two-player game. I'll get it. It's just behind me. Allow me to get up.
Skulk Hollow.
And the artwork is amazing. Like, that's the box. If you see the box, this is helpful for the people listening. Huh. Someone's calling me. I'm hanging that up. Sorry.
Who publishes it?
So it's Pencil First.
Pencil First.
Yes.
So that's the artwork. Like, it's,
never
it's,
heard of it.
I've heard of it.
A gorgeous two-player game.
It's just two-player.
Keith Magia, Eduardo Barath, and Dustin Faust, who's the artist who worked at Disney and does some amazing work.
I'll have to look that up.
Okay, so you're number one. Your favorite thing you're enjoying right now, and it can be whatever.
I'm probably going to say a Netflix series I've been watching, which is Shadow and Bone.
A few yards of garbage.
Mm.
Yes.
Everybody keeps talking about that. Should I watch that, Gabby? Have you watched it?
You wouldn't like it. Okay. You would claim it's derivative, which it is. It's just like every other YA. You have this group of people... And they're, you have this lower class fighting this upper class. But what makes this show to me is not even the main characters. While I like Mal, what makes this to me is they're not even the secondary characters. You could say they're the co-characters, the guy, the Kaz and
Tertiary,
but they're not because they have their own set of books. But I like Kaz and Inej.
So what is it about?
It's these people that have different. Go ahead, Michael. I'll let you tell it.
No, I'm just saying you're not selling it very well. It's bloody great. Just watch it. I went in blind, not knowing a thing about it, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Really?
Go in with their expectations, though. It's like a steampunk fantasy world. There's segregation amongst different classes, like mages have their own titles, and then there's regular people. But they're also very racist on the same note. So like they don't like they're loosely based off like, you know, there's the Chinese, they call them the Shu. They're sort of Russians, the main characters, and they're all racist towards each other. And it's apparent, but it's just a great watch. Like I found it very entertaining. Listen to Gabby.
It's very
Gabby.
It's very cliche in its presentation, but what draws me in and keeps me interested is the actual characters. And
the flashing lights.
It is very well done. It's very well filmed.
I've heard the books are absolute crap, though.
Yeah, the actual Shadow and Bone books are terrible. I started the first one. Didn't even finish it.
Gabby reads the YA books.
The Six of Crows, I started that one, and
the
it's
what?
Better.
The what?
Six of Crows.
Oh, the Six of Crows. I'm sorry.
The Six of Crows.
That sounded like
he's not a New Zealander.
Okay.
The Six of Crows.
But yeah, it's
really
good. I like
the Flight of the Conchords, and opening for them, the Six of Crows.
Yes.
It's a bunch of just caw, caw. They all stand out there and do impersonations.
The crows were calling his name, thought Ka.
Mm. The Fly of the Conchords.
Speaking of Flying of the Conchords, have you seen Moana?
Seen who?
Moana, the Disney Pixar?
I have not. Oh. I know. I'm behind. Yeah. Enrique perked up. You mentioned children's movies.
Moana is one of the greatest animated series, animated shows in the last bloody 20 years.
Really?
And it's got Jermaine.
Flight
of the Conchords.
He's knocking it out of the park.
Enrique perked up.
What did
you want to say, Enrique?
Well, it's just mainly facts about the movie.
Go ahead. He's got some facts. Go ahead, Enrique.
I've been asleep until someone mentions Moana.
Go ahead, Enrique.
Facts.
No, turn the camera back. I don't want to see him while he's talking to me.
Go ahead, Enrique.
Hold up. Just make sure that my...
I'm gonna take a photo of this. He's got a t-shirt on.
You can't check sleeves. Your facts no, his, right his, now.
His sleeveless shirt that has his name on it is literally in the bag next to him. He is wearing a t-shirt because he was.
Can I borrow that Godfather game behind you? I've been trying to find that here in Australia.
Oh, it's an amazing
for
game.
So long.
That is an amazing game. And Ricky, what are you doing?
So, do you have a group you get to play with, or is it mostly your family or friends or what?
So, I've got two kids. I've got a 12-year-old and how old's the other one? 8. I should know this. They're subject to a lot of my play tests. but I do have a group that I play with. But, you know, I haven't seriously played a game in 12 months. Like, it's just been – my work's been busy and I just can't be – bothered really.
Do you do solo gaming by any chance?
You know what? I just got this game, which I don't know if I should tell people about because it's still
unbroken.
Hasn't been shipped here in Australia, and I managed to get a copy of it because of the whole, I don't know if you know much about the whole.
Yes, the Golden Bell.
Shaboodle with the Golden Bell.
Yes, I have that game. I have yet to play it. It looks
I'm
very
keen to play it because. I like Artem himself, the designer, is just a top guy who's just in a really crappy situation. But I'm keen to play it. I've got Moonrakers here based because of you, Jerry, yes. But apparently you don't experience the when you play it solo, you don't experience the negotiation at all.
No, you have to yell at people. Moonrakers is about yelling at people. And
to me, board gaming is a social thing. I can't do it online. Like, I've tried Tabletop Simulator. I just find it...
Oh, God,
if I wanted to play a video game, I'd play a bloody video game. I wouldn't play a board game on a video game.
BGA
platform.
Have you played BGA?
I have not.
It's so much better.
Board Game Arena does because it's not...
Is that the one that we're scripted and...
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you just point and click, and it locks stuff in. You don't have to drag and try to situate stuff. I thoroughly enjoy BGA because it has literally, like, spoiled me on certain games. Like, Welcome To, Marco Polo, especially, what's the one we call, City of Big Shoulders?
Yokohama.
It's got several games that just, it really implements them super nice. And it's like,
do people have lobbies there? Can you join like people waiting for people?
Oh, yeah.
Is that it? I wasn't sure if you needed like a group to go in.
No.
Then you also just, might be.
There's can either create your own lobby and wait for somebody to hop in, or you can join somebody else's. It's very nice.
Okay. I might check that out then. But like, it's a social thing to me. Like, I enjoy interacting with people. As much as I hate people, I enjoy interacting with people.
Now, I was talking with you earlier and messaging back and forth, and I always throw out the cliche of what's your favorite board game, and you mentioned a game that I regret never looking more into, but it was at the Battle of...
Battle 4 Rokugan?
Yes, that's it, the Fantasy Flight game.
Yeah, that's a bloody...
Battle for what?
So you don't remember, but at our first BGG, the Fantasy Flight game, we sat down and demoed. You don't remember anything. You don't even remember. He'll show you the box. But it's, it has a very interesting artwork. It's like a Game of Thrones sort of kind of feel to it a little bit.
Uh-huh. I remember that. Yeah.
Wait, which game is it?
We all played like one round of it.
I don't think he was there.
No, I don't think Enrique was there for that one. But we, but at the same time.
You flip those tokens over and stuff.
At the same time as one was like, you know, I'd like to look into it. And I had completely forgot about it. Like, now it's on my wish list. Like, I'm hunting it up.
It's such a good game. It's like a Diet Coke version of Game of Thrones.
I know. I remember playing this, and you weren't a fan of it.
I wasn't. But that was like years ago. My tastes have changed.
I have changed.
He was a younger man.
I
hate
foolish.
Dice placement.
I was arrogant and pompous.
You're drinking out of an Ice Age cup, too. I like that.
It's got kids.
Yeah, you got to have kids. When you have kids, you got all these weird cups and various
Stop
things.
Watching me while I'm drinking, you creep.
Hey, you don't talk about what I like to do. You just keep doing it. But there is this weird perception I have of certain games that when I play them, oftentimes I'll know right off the bat I don't like this game. But sometimes there's these ones that I'm like middle of the road and I have to go back and revisit. And that was one of them that I remember thinking, I'm not too keen on it. But at the same time, every time I have seen it since, I thought, I need to give that another shot.
I remember enjoying it quite. Another one along that line is that Ethnos.
Yeah, that's a great game, but the theme is just, it's just like glued on. Like, it could have been any theme.
They did make another game of it because they did.
Can you hear us?
Royals. Royals is a great game.
I can't hear you.
Royals is a great game.
Oh, okay.
He's talking with his kids. Okay. Don't you understand what he's doing? He's saying his daughter.
She's cussing him out. She's like, frack you, Dad. I ain't doing what you say. Middle finger to you, Dad. Now he's engaged in a fight with his younger child.
She wants cheese. I'm just telling her to hurry up. Get out of here now. Don't eat it now. Go and get.
Eat your cheese elsewhere.
Go and get. Come in. Get. Come say hi to these people. Come say hi to these creeps.
Hey, there's Texas. Michael's. Is that your wife, Michael?
Yes, I'm hidden.
No, she's hidden. Come.
How are you?
This is the.
Good. We're from Texas. How are y'all?
Good.
She's laughing at your accent.
What are you laughing at?
Gabby, lean in so she can see you and see
that. You freaked her out. She's going. <He's> like,
here you go, Dad. Those guys are weird. Like, those guys are weird.
Those guys are freaks.
Those guys are a bunch of freaks. I think I'm very close on your accent. Just saying.
I can hear literally no difference. I can close my eyes and Gabby can talk and you can talk and it's the same thing.
Jerry,
you're meant to have my back because he's attacking your son when he goes, Daddy. Daddy.
That has gotten so hilarious now that I can't help it. It's gotten to the point to where, you know, now when my son speaks, I'd like, can you change your accent a little bit? Speak to me as if you were a poor peasant orphaned English child and you work in some tannery. Ask me for porridge. It's gotten
so you're there. What was your number one, what's your favorite game, is that what
Battle
it was
of Rokanagu.
So it's sort of a split between Battle for Rokugan and Chinatown. I think I've got something for Area of Control.
Oh, you just Area made Jerry very happy.
Chinatown. Have you ever played Lords of Vegas?
I have not.
Okay.
I've watched Shut Up, Sit Down play Lords of Vegas.
No, God, those guys are awful. Lords of Vegas, to me, is the... It's the alternative to Chinatown where you just don't... When you want more than just the negotiation, you want the area control and the craziness and just the sheer randomness.
I love the betting.
The betting.
Lords of Vegas.
The best thing about Lords of Vegas is you're doing this area control thing, kind of like Chinatown where you're building up your casinos and those little blocks and those little areas of the board and hoping that they pay out. And you can go take over someone else's area forcefully by paying money and rolling the dice and trying to
get it. You can just take over it.
But the best thing about it is you can go gamble in somebody else's casino. And we played this one game where me and Bubba and Enrique are fighting for control. And then Gabi did nothing but just show up at somebody's casino and play craps and say, look.
I was just a drunk gambler.
I'll give you some money.
He made hellacious bets. And the board tells you, like, the odds are always in the favor of the house. But Gabi would show up and he won one time. And he got into his head that he could beat the game.
I was hooked, baby.
He would just show up. And so me and Gabi and Enrique and Bubba were all playing. And next thing you know, Gabi would just show up with like $20 million and say, look, I want to run this all ride, and just wouldn't stop. And we begged him to stop coming to our casinos.
I can see why gambling is addictive.
Oh yeah,
because you win one time and you want to keep gambling.
We were strong-willed.
Lords of Vegas is one of the foremost.
It's in my top five games of all time. I freaking love Lords of Vegas.
Was there a second version recently?
Yes, there was this hellacious Kickstarter where they actually took the game, made it. They had like a suitcase, an actual suitcase, like a Samsonite suitcase that they put the game in or something like that. It was crazy what all they went out to do. But yeah, it's still out there. But Lords of Vegas is amazing. And the expansion to it's not necessary. But even
okay, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah, there was an expansion. It's not particularly necessary. You don't really need it.
I might look into it because I have heard very good things. I think a few friends that live 3 hours away have it. And I might try and what I can get out of my house.
Lords of Vegas is awesome. So you cannot leave your house except
you
for
can,
just,
but you can only go within 5 kilometers unless you're an essential worker.
5 kilometers, that's 3 miles.
Well, 3 miles.
Is delivering cupcakes essential?
Yes.
You know what? It is because it's classed as a cafe, bakery. So it's food and people get their food delivered. So
And y'all have the vaccine down there, right?
We have the vaccine, but right now we're going. They're asking for people for 40 to 49 years old. So I'm not quite as old as
you look.
Gabi over here. So I'm not eligible.
I was eligible due to my obesity.
Yes. Yeah,
don't count really? That out.
So that's so you're telling people to get fat.
Yes.
Because if
you're fat, get the vaccine.
We're trying to help you, cupcake man.
Eat some of your deliveries. That's all you got to do.
Look how many chips I have.
why your company is not called Betty Crocker, we don't know.
Betty Crocky.
Oh we don't gosh. Know.
That's good.
That's good. Write that down. That's good. Oh, man. Well, hey, I think...
Has this been everything you've dreamed of?
Yes.
That's our question.
You know what? It has been. It really has been.
Your dreams are not much.
I have to credit Richard Simpson from We're Not Wizards because he was my main podcast I listened to forever. Mm-hmm. And then he got me onto you guys. I think he had you two on.
Yep.
And then I'm like, okay, I'll listen to you, Galaz. And there was no board game talk for like 10 episodes I listened to. He got me onto so much. He got me onto Orange Nebula. He had them on. I think Richard's place in the community is to introduce others to their
podcasts.
Content. But you know, he needs more success in this. I did not agree to that. Richard, if you're listening, it wasn't me.
He doesn't.
He did
even
the voiceover.
Listen. How dare
he did,
you, Richard?
He did the voiceover for my Kickstarter video.
Oh, really?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. And he did like 20 takes, and then he sung one. It was absolutely amazing.
I need that. If you have that audio file, please.
I think I still do.
Please include that audio file when you send this your side over.
I love Richard. Richard is adorable.
Richard to me is the most. I discovered Richard by trying to find a podcast about a designer that I had listened to previously and I couldn't find it. And I ran across Richard's podcast and listened to him interview somebody and I just fell in love with it. And then I just assumed everybody knew who he was because he had 400 some odd episodes.
Everybody in the industry does.
And I thought, so, okay. And I heard his name a lot. So I thought, he's super popular. And then I realized after talking with him, he is like the most underrated podcast in terms of board gaming. He knows everybody. Everybody knows him. And yet there is no... I just find it fascinating that
his numbers don't add up.
In general,
yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, in generalized podcasting, like Joe Rogan, who is just long form discussions, you know, 9 million people listen to him. Richard Simpson is this long form discussion about deep dives into whatever topic with this person. Nobody listens to it. And I think that really.
Well, a few listen to it.
Like, if you think about how disheartened he must have been after his 400 episodes, I guess that's why he took 12 months off. I'm glad he's doing it again, although he's doing it a bit differently, which is good. I think people sort of took advantage of him and, you know, oh, you know, I'll come on because I've got something to promote.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing, which it's pretty prevalent in the board game industry.
Well, I think that the community in terms of board gaming, and we just did an episode about something similar to this. I really feel like the attention spans of most board gamers is very, very short. I think that they're all about, in terms of their media, these videos that are super hyped up. Everybody's positive. They're just very flashy, very... I don't quite know how to describe it. It's like an infomercial. It's like you're watching the QVC type stuff, like they're trying to sell you something. And all the podcasts have that same weird, forced energy where it sounds like, hello, like someone's trying to sell you a car. And Richard is very sedate and calm and wants the person he's interviewing to kind of set the tone. And I think that it's just a mismatch. There's just not that many people in board gaming that listen to that type of content. And that's why I've always felt like Richard's just the most underrated podcast in terms of board gaming media. And quite frankly,
he's such good at interviewing as well. Enrique, you could take a few tips from him.
Yeah, please. That would be, do you know what? Nothing would please me more than to listen to 3 hours of Richard Simpson trying to interview Enrique. I would set that up and just listen.
Can we do that? Can we organize that? Like, I'm serious.
We may Enrique, just put that, Enrique, would you
put the PlayStation controller down and talk to the man?
Just let Richard just talk to you about anything. Just anything.
I'll be fine with that.
Okay, okay.
Because I'm better at someone asking me questions than me asking them questions.
That's fine. And Richard's
you did a good job when you interviewed. Was it Dan? Was it Dan?
Well, Jerry gave him some heads up on that one. He just now gave Enrique the heads up.
Yeah,
this one's probably my fault because I'm like, Jerry's like,
no, it's
I woke up and I saw Jerry's message and I'm like, what about now?
Yeah. Yeah, literally we filmed two episodes of our podcast and I was drinking.
Filmed it.
IPA. And it's like, hey, Mike wants to be on. And Gobby says, Mike who? I said, turn the mic on. We're ready to go. Let's do it. And it's like, no. I said, Mike Vannoy.
He said,
like,
Michael Vannoy.
That's who he is. I didn't even know who we had on. We're all right. Somebody's coming on. Let's start it.
One of my favorite, two of my favorite people, and I wish they would combine more often, is Ben Maddox and Richard Simpson.
Ben's blowing up, though.
Ben is so articulate in what he says.
Oh, he's so smart.
He's such an intelligent person. Like, he doesn't know me from a bar of soap, but I feel like I know him. Like, podcasts are this weird one-sided friendship looking inside a window, watching you do what you do. That's how I feel about it. Like, I feel I know you guys, but this is really the first time we've really spoken.
Right. Well, when I first started listening to Richard and Ben, like, Ben went on to Richard's show and they jive. Like, you can tell those two jive. And that's interesting in podcasting. We can tell two different people are able to go back and forth that well. And I enjoyed Richard when he comes on our show. I freaking love Richard.
Yeah.
When Ben come on our show, I didn't know what to expect from Ben because he is so, like, I'm like, man, this guy is smart. He's philosophical. He's a deep thinker. And man, I freaking loved Ben on our show. And it's just
the
like
big words he uses is bonkers. Like, I can't wrap my tiny brain around
it. His thesaurus must be bigger than mine.
Does he read a dictionary for fun? What does he do?
What's he doing?
But yeah, I hope like I'm really proud to see like Ben got nominated for the Golden Geek, and he's kind of made, you know, he's making more waves there with the Dice Tower.
And he's doing good. And he's coming up.
I wish the same would be true for Richard. Like I honestly think Richard is just on the cusp of being what he wants to be in the media, like something breaking through and him being more popular. And I could see Richard being on the Dice Tower. And having a segment. I mean, he has so much to contribute, but anyways, that's...
He slaved so... I lost the sound to you guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
We can hear you.
He put so much work into his podcast, and, you know, I feel bad for him because it got nowhere, so I tried to share it. I'm a patron. Even though he's not making anything, I'm a patron for him because I think he needs as much support as he can get. So if you're listening to this...
Yes.
Get on We're Not Wizards because it's fantastic.
Yeah, he's really great at what he does.
This has been a telephone drive for We're Not Wizards.
Yes. So this is like one of those Jerry Lewis for the kids. This is the board game snobs for Richard Simpson. He needs your help. We should have like Sarah McLachlan music come on and like Richard Pitcher.
I will remember
for 69 pence a day. You could support a poor
Scotsman,
a poor Scotsman in his striving to be a member of the board game mania.
When I saw a photo of him, I thought he'd look like you, like this short little fella.
No.
But he's this huge, 6 foot towering, bald fella.
Yep. Yeah, he's like us. He's one of us.
He's bald.
One of us.
He's one of us.
Brother from another mother.
I kid you not, between you and Michael and Richard, y'all could put y'all in a room. Y'all all look alike to me. I can't tell you.
That is extremely.
Start talking.
You're a baldest.
I'm a baldest. I really have. It's not. Yeah, I think I do have something against bald people.
You do.
You don't understand. Like, you know how good this is. Like, I wake up, I'm ready to go out.
Right.
I don't have to do my hair.
I wish I could do my hair.
I've had the same bottle of shampoo. My daughter's 12 years old. It's older than her. I probably should throw it out,
It is a problem. I can't walk down the street without the ladies running their fingers in my hair. I get tired. I'm married.
And there they go.
The Sheila's. Like the what was this?
The rad.
The rad hair. Yeah.
Just imagine how Enrique feels with that mop that he's got going on.
Have you seen Enrique's? Did you get a good look at Enrique's face? I want you to Enrique's face. Turn the thing towards Enrique's hair. And his face, take it in for a moment and tell me that is not Pablo Escobar's son.
It's a blind Pablo Escobar.
Yes. Now, you'll notice his glasses are bottle cap glasses that are so thick because he can't
see. How old are you, Enrique?
21.
21?
Yeah,
I'm 21. 37, and look at my beard. This is it for me, mate. Yeah, put your glasses back on. Look at my beard. This is all I get, mate. And look at your beard and you're 21.
That's not even a beard. That is, you haven't shaved in a couple of days.
Well, yeah.
The mustache that is Fu Manchuing out, something that
you
is
gotta,
just...
You got to twirl it though, okay?
Yeah, he's got it halfway twirled.
That's awesome. That's outstanding.
And so this is one of those, this is one of those scary things of seeing Enrique and knowing that you are somehow related.
To Pablo Escobar.
That there is no way that you are not.
It's just not the money.
Just not the money. I wish you had.
Or the drugs.
Had that
or the
money.
Sex.
Basically just chicken nuggets.
I'm accumulating that money little by little.
You are accumulating that money little by little. But
I'm just waiting for Enrique to say, I'm alive.
Yes, so just jump out and be gone. We just know if something ever happens in Enrique, we know what has gone on. You've gone back. To your true
How
family.
Are you, Enrique? These guys
are we
treating
gone
you
for
okay?
like 10 years and all
I just asked you a question. You just left the brother hanging.
I have.
He can't hear. Enrique.
He can't hear me when he talks?
Enrique, can
I
you?
I can.
Okay, did you hear what he said? You have to speak. What?
I just want to know, how are you, Enrique? Are you good?
Yes, sir.
No one ever checks in with you. They check in with these other two galas, but no one ever checks in with you.
But yeah, I've been doing all right so far.
Yes. What are you playing on PlayStation at the moment, mate?
Currently, Mass Effect.
Oh, really? I took it back. I can't do that. I did it back in the day. I can't do it. I'm playing Biomutant, which is pretty
average. I've heard of that. How is
that? It's average. It's average. Really? It's got a crap storytelling. And yeah, so I'm going back to bloody. I'm still playing Overwatch. So,
but if I had actually a storytelling game or anything that had kind of a story, it'd be Ghost of Tsushima. That was a really good game.
Yeah, that was a great game. I loved, I loved The Last of Us and The Last of Us 2. Look, this is the podcast now.
The Last of Us 2 wasn't really that good.
That's fine.
Yeah, we're going to talk about video games because we're both nerds.
Last of Us 2.
Last of Us 2 was great. People didn't like the storyline, but I think it did.
The gameplay good at least?
The gameplay is great. Yeah, everything. It's stressful, but it's great.
I have started back on two things. One, I have gotten the revised version of Mafia. I love.
I've heard that's great. I played Mafia 2 back in the day, not the first one.
I played the original. I absolutely think that was one of the most amazing. It's semi-open world video games at the time. It was smart enough not to be Grand Theft Auto-ish and to tell a story. That
with cars that go 15 miles per hour.
That was the worst thing about. That was the funniest thing in that game is that when the original game, you're driving and the cops get behind you and you just pull over. You pay a fine and they let you go. You're not supposed to run from them. You're supposed to pull over. That, and I'm playing the sequel to Subnautica. The Subnautica Sub-Zero. Subnautica was one of my favorite games.
Is that on Switch? Is it or is it?
It's on Steam. It's on the computer.
It's on Steam.
It's PC.
I've heard it's pretty good. I love it. Yeah.
I love Subnautica.
I hate Jerry. I've got a phobia about water, so I never played the first one. I bought it on Steam, but I just can't bring myself to play it.
It's amazing. It truly is. It's on the level of Minecraft. I don't like those games where you're having to grind and craft stuff. I like a little bit of that, but it's so chilled out. The visuals, the music, and the Sub-Zero thing has kicked it up just a notch more where you can kind of go and land a little bit and there's some environment and a little bit more of a story. But yeah, it's a super chill game. I am thrilled to death with it.
I actually did get Jerry hooked on one game recently. And it's called Slay the Spire.
Oh, I hate that game. It sucked more time out of my life.
He hates it because he loves it.
He says, it's just a deck builder, but it's on your computer. It's like, why would I want to play? I don't like deck builders. And I was like, why would I want to play this goofy game?
Now, I don't like deck builders.
I like them.
But I was able to get them to play it.
I have sunk so many hours. Every morning I get up, I get my cup of coffee, and I sit down I'm going to take a run at it.
Oh, one I've been playing is... The Batman Telltale.
I love Telltale games.
The Batman Telltale story.
So good. I love the Walking Dead series.
I did too.
That was so good.
That was amazing.
I'm going to say, I cried at the end of series one.
It was, yes.
Don't like that was.
I haven't played that one.
And the series, did you play both of them, Jerry?
Yes.
Did all three of them? The decision that they made you take at the end of the second series was the worst decision I've ever had to make in a game.
So a real Sophie's choice.
I love the Telltale games because it they give you just enough choice
where it seems very impactful.
Yes, but at the same time, I just remember that was the first Telltale game I ever played was the Walking Dead, and I just remember going through that and just being devastated, just absolutely devastated. And then I went and played the Borderlands one, which was absolutely hilarious and fun. And I'm scared to play another one because it's been
the
such...
Batman one is really good.
Well, after you get done with that, I have never watched Walking Dead episode. By the way, I'm not a fan of the Walking Dead show, but the Telltale games, the Telltale game story of it is absolutely amazing.
For me, like the Jurassic Park Telltale game.
Of course you would.
I never touched that one.
I have it. I bought it because you were telling me about it. But that, you know,
Did you play The Wolf Among Us? The one based on the comic?
I haven't played it.
I started that, but I never finished it.
That was pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty dark. It's not for kids in the slightest. Even though it's set like
the
big bad
wolf. I think they're making a second one, aren't they?
Isn't the company go under? Telltale went under, didn't they?
Yeah. I heard that it went under.
I think they got bought out, didn't they? Or somebody bought them out? I can't remember.
I think it's just the episodic content. It's not a business model that you can do nowadays.
Good. It's not good. it's not a great model, but it also video games in terms of telling stories, that's a niche market.
Niche.
There's not that many people who like that.
Well, Michael, not to be self-serving, but what's the favorite thing you like about Board Game Snobs?
Besides Enrique.
You know what? I love the banter. It's second to none. Like, you guys have such a chemistry that I can't tell. What's Jerry doing? He's doing something funny.
He did a warm heart gesture.
Nah, it's just so good. You two with the third wheel behind me on the right. It's great. I love it. It's an intelligent conversation about why you like a board game most of the time, even though most of them start off with, now I don't like this because this, and then you proceed to list off why you like it. It's a bit contradictory, but it's entertaining. And I drive for a living, as you do as well. It keeps me entertained. Sometimes I find myself getting to a point where I need to get out of the van and deliver something, but I'll just wait for this part so I don't miss any really bad pun.
What's the average amount of hours you drive in a day?
Minimum of 6,
woo,
maximum of 8.
Really?
Yeah, so my Google Maps notification goes crazy. It's like, hey, you've traveled a quarter of the world this month. And I'm like, oh, thank you.
Wow. Cupcakes. So you work no more than 40 hours a week?
No, so I'm only casual, but I do full-time hours. So I do about 38 hours a week on a casual. But I don't get any benefits like leave. If I'm sick, I don't get paid, basically.
Okay, so you're like part-time here in the States. What time in the morning do you start?
So I get up at 5 and I start at about 6.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's about truck driver hours. Yeah, not too bad.
I drive about 25 Ks to work and then I drive a van all day.
25 K would be 50 miles?
No, it's about
the other way.
So what's the exact opposite of a gram? Or ounce, whatever it was we just did earlier.
I don't, the kilograms. Kilograms is 2.2.
Yeah. Can you guys catch up to the rest of the bloody world with the
math?
So there is actually, there is an American Society for Metrics Use, which I am a member of. And it was one of these things that I came across. It is an organization that is trying to convince Americans to use the metric system. And basically they want to pass legislation that just says, why can't you just say, okay, from this grade on, we're going to stop teaching imperial, whatever you call this thing, this American way of doing it, and we're just going to start teaching metric system from here on out. And they have like a newsletter, and I signed up just so that I could see the newsletter. And it's just a bunch of people who are very concerned about bringing the metric system to the United States, and it's how to convince your friends to start using the metric system. It's like how to talk to people about the metric system.
Well, it's interesting that kilos, cocaine is measured in kilos. Well, why is that?
Well, it's just
probably comes from South America or something.
Yeah, it's like you know, if you catch somebody, it's like if you, how many pounds is that? Oh, it's a cop. This guy's a cop. It's some guy from Boston. Where's my
Boston?
How many pounds is that? The metric system is far superior.
I can't wrap my head around you use ounces, you use pounds.
Have
you seen it on a scale?
Yes, it's
like it's bonkers.
And so I have recently started baking, and I have
Jerry Baker the baker.
I know
Jerry the baker.
Yes, I used to work at a donut shop, and it drives me insane. So
sure about that? I thought Gabby would have worked there. Get it?
How dare you?
I just sold this stuff. He got high on his own supply. So
one for you, one for me.
I watched
Baker's Dozen.
I watched
except mine is 24.
All these YouTube videos, and most of them are from there's like numerous Japanese ASMR videos of people baking.
Oh, how good are they?
Oh, Nino's home is amazing. Yes. So they'll talk about grams, and I'm like, I have no idea what these, and I'm having
crackers.
I'm having to convert these measurements that they use. And then it's like, I'm going to start. And I got into watching like a Gordon Ramsay, and he often says so many milliliters. I'm like, this is not helping me. Like, you have to go and start reverting all these measurements back. And you go, why do we have this? Why at some point in America we said this is an ounce and this is a pint and this is a quart and a liter and went all crazy and just decided now we're going to start using miles and yards and everything. It infuriated.
Was it just to differentiate? Because we're like, hey, we won the revolution, so we get to make up our own system.
Yes, that's.
I think that's what it was. Like, we want to be different from the motherland.
That's why we don't
create our own.
That's why we don't do soccer. It's why we don't do cricket. Literally, it's like, you know what?
We got baseball and football.
You can't tell us how to measure. We're going to measure everything by the foot.
You can tell me what to do.
And that's how
I've got a series for you, Jerry. Have a look on YouTube for Nat's What I Reckon. It's an Aussie guy, and he's just cooking stuff, but he's the most eloquent person you'll ever meet. All right? I'll send you a link afterwards.
Okay, send me, because there is an Australian bartender that I got hooked on watching. That I have zero interest in making mixed drinks, but it was just this very friendly Australian bartender that every time he would make a drink, I was fascinated by, because he would always mix these drinks, and he'd show you how to make it, and every time at the very end, he would grab the drink and hold it up to the camera, and he would do the same goofy smile every single time.
A smirk.
It's like he was like just trying to get like a thumbnail shot. So it's like he would really cheese it up, but he'd do it like after every single drink. And I got to watching him, which of course, when you watch stuff on YouTube, I can't just watch it. I then proceed to go, no, I need some vermouth. I'm going to start making it just like this guy. And it just down the rabbit hole you go.
Yeah, I got obsessed with making my own like sauce. Like I love gravy, so I made like a
we can tell.
Like I'm a gravy person. Like if I go to a pub, you know what a pub is?
Yes.
Yeah, a public house of alcohol.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
As soon as you said I love gravy, I immediately started laughing because I knew Gobby was about to say that. I was laughing at something literally before he said it. I was pre-laughing knowing Gobby's about to bust him somehow. I don't know what he's about to say. And then just laughing. Okay. We have chocolate gravy down here.
We do?
Like fondue?
Whatever gravy you want, we got.
Okay, so there's an old timey
sausage gravy.
I need to. I'll find it. I'll find the recipe. But
can you stop.
But chocolate gravy is just that. It's a gravy.
What, like a fondue, like a chocolate topping.
Yes.
Well, no, it's gravy that's chocolate with chocolate in it. So yes, it's very much like a fondue, but you utilize it on everything else that you would use normal gravy, like biscuits and gravy.
See, that's what baffles me. Biscuits and gravy looks disgusting. It looks like someone threw up on a plate.
But I will tell you that the biscuits and gravy is one of the sausage.
That's not biscuits. Biscuits are sweet biscuits. You're talking about scones.
No.
Scones.
No, we don't have scones.
Oh, yeah.
Scones and gravy.
Soft scones.
People up north eat scones at Starbucks. We don't eat scones down here. We have biscuits. And biscuits are flaky.
Moist.
You have sausage with them, some sort of pork product. And
your biscuits are our cookies.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Cookies are these sweet things with chocolate.
Your cookies are our biscuits, I should say.
No, probably. Your cookies are wrong. Like, those aren't cookies. Cookies are a dessert.
That's where I draw. Tim Tams are the best.
I say that wrong. I've tried a Tim Tam. I was impressed. Like I was impressed by the fact, because there's all these various British foods, and I desperately want to get a hold of like tea, because I'm a big tea drinker, and I just assume that I'm being stiffed over here in America drinking Americanized tea. That there's got to be a tea.
We have stores just tea. It's called T2.
Yeah, it's like I've bought all this American tea, and I'm like, I like it, but there's got to be something else out there.
What, like English breakfast?
Yes, and there's no such thing as English breakfast.
That's just normal tea.
That's just tea there. And so I'm interested in knowing what exactly, but no, biscuits, sausage, gravy. That right there. You poach you an egg, that's how you end up in a revolution right there. You eat poached eggs, sausage, biscuits, and gravy, and you could literally go out and take over the world. You could fight.
I still don't understand what those biscuits are, though. What are they? It's a flour-based.
It's just flour, yeah. Flour, water.
So it's like a bread.
Sugar. It is. It's a light, fluffy bread.
You've never had a biscuit.
It's a scone. You're describing a scone.
What is a scone?
A scone is more dry to me.
Scones are dry and hard.
Are they moist?
They're hard, but...
are they what? That's a question.
That threw him off.
Yeah,
so bad.
Scones, you cut in half and then you put, you know, jam and then you put cream on. But I think you guys call milk cream. Do you call milk cream or something?
No,
like
we call milk.
When you have a tea, do you put milk in it or do you put cream?
Wait,
in it?
If I put
those
milk
are two
in
different
it,
things.
There's milk. There's half and half, which is milk and heavy whipping cream, and then there's heavy whipping cream. So
what is half and half?
So half.
I'm lactose intolerant, so I got no idea.
Okay, so heavy whipping.
Half and half would mess you up then.
No. Heavy whipping
cream. It'll send you to the bathroom like 10 times for a name.
Heavy whipping cream is the cream. And so a lot of people, you use heavy whipping cream to make whipping cream or whatever else. It's very thick. Some people like milk. But if you want something that's halfway whipped, you use half and half. So it's like a really thick, creamy milk, but it's not so much that it's cream.
Okay. Have you ever had tea with sweetened condensed milk as the milk?
Yes.
That's pretty great.
Sweetened condensed milk here is like a thing. Like in the South, everybody has condensed milk in their closet. Yeah. I mean, that's just a thing. But the biscuits, I'm just shocked by, like, that's a Southern thing, I know. Like, you're raised on biscuits down here.
And my mother-in-law makes homemade biscuits. I prefer the biscuits from the can. I like Grands.
You can just
go. You get biscuits in a can?
Yeah, you just.
Is that as bad as, like, hot dogs in a can? What the?
You can have hot dog in a can. Do y'all have hot dogs in cans?
Yeah, at Aldi.
What?
We have an Aldi's.
Y'all have Aldi's?
We're half a kilometer from an Aldi's. I've never seen a hot dog in a can. What are you
talking about? Hot dogs in a can, yeah.
You're talking about Vienna sausages.
Nope.
You're talking what? About, wait a minute now. When you say a hot
like
dog.
Something you could put mustard on and eat it? Like bread and weenies?
Just a sausage, not the bread roll.
Oh. No, we don't have.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We got to stop here. So confusing. I need to clarify this. I'm going to clarify this on Gobby's side. So, yes, there are cans, or what some British people would call tins, that you smash open. Out comes the pre-made.
Or you use a can opener.
No, you smash them open. You smash them open. You're in the South. You don't use can openers.
They pop open.
You twist and they pop open, and out comes.
So he doesn't know what you're talking about.
This is. Well, I'm about to send you a video. You don't have the Pillsbury Doughboy down there. Your resemblance is striking.
What did you call me?
The Pillsbury Doughboy.
Oh my lord!
You don't have that.
No.
Okay.
What is that?
That's okay.
Oh my god!
Can you tell how high pitched my voice went? Where did I know this? No.
We have figured out that this is how they keep us down. They keep us separated, and this isn't what we need to do. We need to figure this out so we realize we can merge.
If you guys give me an idea to bring to Australia, I'll become a millionaire. I'll invite you guys over.
Okay. Biscuits.
Because we're so sheltered.
Biscuits in a can. Number one, real biscuits, American biscuits. So here's the thing. Gobby just said.
Are they in a liquid?
No, they pop open. They're in a thing. They're in a
like a jar.
It looks like a tube. It looks like a what I'm thinking. What would they have that would be in
a canister, a tube,
like a long,
like a postage tube. Say you're sending a
postage tube. That's this long, about yay long, that big. Pop them open. You twist it, pops open, out comes the dough. You see dough, you take it out, and you can peel it apart. You throw it on there. You put it in the oven, and there you go. You have biscuits. They're flaky.
So it's like, so we can get cookie dough in like little
kind of like that. Tubes. But they're not like aluminum. These like have like some aluminum, like they're protected. Like they're
aluminium.
Aluminium. Yes. So that's biscuits. That's what he's talking to. Now, you're saying that y'all have hot dogs. And when we say hot dogs, we're talking about not sausages. We are talking about in America when they make pork, when they kill pigs, they take everything.
And they put the lips and holes in the mix.
Correct. And here they go. So you have now, those are what we're talking about now. We're talking about hot dogs. We're not talking about sausages. Mm-hmm. You have those in a tin?
In a jar, and you got liquid.
A jar like a pickle jar with multiple hot dogs in it, filled with water, and you think that's okay?
I don't buy it.
Okay.
I just buy the ones in the cryovac.
Okay. We're good.
I just emailed him a video of the Grands biscuits I was talking about.
Those are biscuits. Now, Gobby just said something sacrilegious when he talked about the biscuits.
I can't help it. I have, and my wife feels the same way as you. I prefer Grand's fluffy, buttery, flaky biscuits over her mother's homemade biscuits.
Oh my God. Does your wife make biscuits?
She can, yes.
Okay. So the making of biscuits is like a thing. Like my wife makes what is commonly referred to like cat head biscuits. And so not to offend all you feline lovers, but cat head biscuits are biscuits that are generally the size of a cat's head. They're much larger, and they're not as symmetrical, but they're like these big biscuits that you just slather in what you want, like butter or jelly, and they are amazing.
But often here in the States, when people make homemade biscuits, they're dry and flaky, and I don't like that.
But no, you can make buttery biscuits. You could do that. You can adjust the recipe. But the thing is that traditionally, Southern biscuits are flaky, kind of crispy.
And that's why you require gravy.
You got to send me a recipe. I want to try this out. Okay. Make sure you send it with metric measurements because I want to try it out. Because what you're describing to me sounds like a scone. But a scone is something you have with sweet things like jam, what you would call jelly.
Yeah. The sausage.
Because our jelly is your jello.
Right. Yeah. You have to have biscuits and gravy. Like, that is literally.
They're so dry, you have to have gravy. Yes.
No, they're not.
Or a jam or a jelly.
Gabi doesn't know because Gabi literally, his body is 50% butter. So everything to him is dry. Like, everything. Yes. This is dry. It's like, if it's not slathered in lard, he doesn't recognize it as being. But yeah. Biscuits are like this staple. Like sopping. Do you sop?
I'm sorry.
Okay. So like,
what'd you call me?
Sop. I didn't call you a sop. I said, do you sop? So like with a biscuit in the South.
Fluids left on your plate?
Yes, you have a biscuit. So for dinner.
You mean you mop it up?
You mop it up. That is called sopping.
Sop. You sop it up.
You do that with like a bread with a stew or something. Yeah. You do it with a piece
exactly.
of bread.
Exactly.
But in the South, you have a biscuit and you have your dinner. And after you've eaten everything else, you take that biscuit and you sop.
You sop it up.
You get up the juices from whatever and you eat that biscuit. And that lets you know that you are alive.
Any leftover gravy or sauce?
Anything that fell on your plate.
You sop it up.
That makes me ask a question. Like, old people here used to have something called bread and dripping.
Yeah. Ooh.
Would you have biscuit and dripping?
That sounds like that.
Which is dripping is like fat of, say, a roast.
Oh, yeah.
You dip it into that.
Yeah. Oh,
would
yeah.
Would you do it that
I'm
way?
I'm looking this up real fast because that sounds.
So, what you're describing would sound.
Bread and dripping. Let me make sure that this is pork and beef dripping, served cold, spread on bread or sprinkled with salt, bread and dripping. Yeah, this looks like a Southern thing. Like you have some sort of liquid type thing, and then this bread for which, yeah, this is totally how to make beef or pork dripping from fat. Yeah, this is like totally right. Some sort of this is
that's fascinating. We could go on forever.
Yes,
that's what is this a sporadically bored podcast? What are we doing?
this is sporadically bread. So tell me, how dare you like scones? How do you feel about baguettes?
They've already had the whole biscuits and gravy discussion.
Yeah, they lost. You can't be having those baguettes. Baguettes and scones are hard. They're hard triangular things.
Not if you get them when they're fresh out of the oven. They're nice, soft, and warm. And then you put some cream and then you put some jelly on them.
You sound, and they're just, what you're describing to me sounds strangely like a croissant.
A croissant's a French. I'm not French.
So is a scone similar to a croissant?
No, a croissant is sweet. It's a bit sweet.
Okay. We can look
and very fluffy. These are dense, flat.
Scones are dense.
Well, I've ate a scone, but I've been at like Starbucks, and it was glazed like a donut.
Well,
Starbucks is wrong.
For when I looked up scones, because I've been watching Rate My Takeaway, and he will eat this variety of things, and scones are very similar to a biscuit.
Okay.
I think there's just a few ingredients or cooking or whatever that differentiate.
I need to catch up on that Rate My Takeaway thing. We do not have takeaway in America. We have things to go. And the first time that I was in London, I went into a store and there was different prices for things that were this and then, but to takeaway, it was slightly cheaper. And I had this very awkward conversation with somebody when they kept asking me, are you going to take it away? And I'm like, well, yes, I'm going to buy it. And then I'm going to eat it. And I'm at a donut shop. And they're like, yeah, but are you going to take away? And I'm like, finally, I just told the lady, I'm from America. I'm sorry. I'm going to take this donut and I'm going to leave. She said, so you're going to take
it. You're just going to open every conversation with, I'm from America. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
And then.
She didn't explain to me, no, if you're going to sit here, it's going to, we charge you this to sit here and eat this. But if you'll just leave.
They charge you this.
Yeah. If you leave, it's slightly cheaper. Just take it away. And I'm like, ah, that makes perfect sense. Give me that and I'll go stand out front and eat it. So instead of sitting
in the sidewalk.
So that's what happened. Instead of sitting in their restaurant, I walked outside and ate the donut and stood out in front of the door.
Sat on the step of the shop.
Yep. That's how I do it. But yeah. But we need.
I just sent you what our scones are.
I see it.
Our scones.
Scone. That seems very pretentious.
It looks like the scone looks like a homemade southern biscuit.
This looks.
But these you can make with lemonade. Like you can pour lemonade in them, mm-hmm. and it makes them really fluffy. It's. I want scones now. I'm going to get my daughter to make some food.
Me at lemonade. This whole discussion is making me very hungry.
I got to go. My wife is like asking me to abscond and come home. Get that? Did you like that?
Does she know where you're at?
Yeah, I told her I was drinking with an Australian.
Oftentimes when Jerry comes over, he lies to his wife, just saying.
I don't lie to my wife.
You do too.
I do not.
She doesn't know where you're at.
So something that really surprised me about both of you guys. It's actually, you guys are actually really nice people, like, in regards to...
Surprisingly, like, yes.
I didn't feel like that. Like, you're decent human
beings.
Decent
human being. That surprises you?
Slightly.
Like, yeah, 100%, because you sound like Jack. No. Like, just what you do for, like, your kids that kind of, like, aren't your kids in a way, but they are your kids. Like, I find that, like, when Jerry told me that... You know, a little bit of history about mm-hmm. you guys. I was really touched because I grew up, like me personally, I grew up in a foster home. Like I was fostered. I was a ward of the state. My mum was non-existent in my life. So I had a whole bunch of other people. And when I heard Jerry say that, you know, I don't know if you want to say
this on the podcast. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, my kids are adopted. Yeah, both of mine.
That Jerry's kids are adopted and Sade is not actually your daughter, but you're looking after her as if she is. Like that just sort of shined a light on you guys as characters. Enrique does the same with cats, though.
Yes. Yes.
His cat daddy.
Enrique, old cat daddy today, when I went to pick him up, was actually at his older sister's house, and you were painting or putting up his other sister is graduating, and so they can't really have much of a graduation. They've chosen not to do an actual graduation.
They got a COVID graduation.
Yeah, so they're doing this drive-by, like you drive down this certain street, and they have like, you know, where...
A drive-by here is something completely different.
I know, okay. Well, no. So that's it is here too, but we're doing this differently here. So Enrique was out making what was it that you said you were making? It's like
a homemade canopy.
A canopy, that's what he says. He says, I'm making a canopy, and I had no clue what he was talking about. And I get up there and he's making...
Like a pergola.
Yeah. A thing to protect them from the rain.
So that she can stand out there during the parade.
And wave like the queen.
And hold his cat.
Enrique is also a very soft soul.
People are going to think he's going to get married to his cat if he's standing under that.
There's a joke there and I'm just going to laugh. I'm just going to laugh wholeheartedly and Bobby will cut it out.
Well, Michael, thank you for coming on. Last minute.
No, thanks for having us.
I'm sorry we weren't more well prepared for you. Although we did manage to do about an hour and 45 minutes.
We are good people, though. I like to affirm that there is nothing. No, we are decent.
It just surprised me. And
it surprised me that you're good people.
It surprised me that you're decent. More decent than most.
I'm glad we surprised you.
A low bar.
Because I'm a product of my environment because of who I grew up with. And now your kids are going to be that because they get to grow up in the environment that you guys create. So I understand from a first person perspective that it's beneficial for them. And I just wanted to say you guys are pretty great.
I think
we think
your board
game
content's okay.
Yeah, we're okay. Yeah. we really have to lean into that more often about our virtues.
We are great people.
Despite your rough. Coarse exterior, rough round exterior as well.
I tell you that all the time, Nubby.
Jerry's always telling me he's a great guy. Don't worry.
I make it clear.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming on. We hope you've been somewhat entertained, and the listeners as well.
Yes.
Michael Langford of Queensland,
Victoria,
New Zealand.
Victoria. What? Victoria. Victoria.
Wow. Okay. It's like, how many people can you piss off at once? Victoria. Okay. I didn't realize you were from Canada.
Where's that?
Thank you for coming to us from your kangaroo ranch. We appreciate it very much.
How do you milk those things?
Hey, what about koalas? Are they predominant there still?
Oh, koalas are awful.
Did you hear about the big bushfires?
Yes.
We're going to start another. How much time do you have? So they wiped out 75% of koala habitat in New South Wales.
Oh.
Like, not last year. So I think their numbers are down, but we've got them still. But they're idiots.
Yeah.
Like, they eat eucalyptus, and then they get high off the eucalyptus, and they just bloody lay there.
Basically, just like Enrique.
Yes. Yeah. I knew you were going to say that, too, for some reason. It's like an instinct.
But they're so adorable.
But they're looking. Like, they're like pandas. Like, they don't breed well. At least in my experience.
Or they do, but then they got chlamydia.
What does that mean?
I mean, I've watched that. No, I mean to reword that better. You don't know why?
I'm so confused right now. From documentaries I have seen on the breeding habits of animals, I have it in my head that koalas aren't great. In no way.
I want to tell you right now, I have not had sexual relations with that koala or any koalas prior.
I'm so glad. Okay, we need to end it now.
I was just saying that koalas have issues.
Michael Langford of Misdirection fame.
Yes.
The card game.
My company name's Games with Teeth.
Games with
Good to see you did your research.
Games
with literally teeth. He did not know who we were having on. Literally, I messaged and said, here we go. Games with teeth. Those aren't teeth. These are teeth.
There's no teeth. This is the teeth.
If that's not your catch line.
It is now.
All right, so that's going to do it for this episode of the Board Game Snobs. I'm Gabby.
Hey.
That's Jerry.
Enrique.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Board Game Snobs. Stay classy.